Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up 20 minutes from now, Mark Schlereth will join us, so we will recap conference championship weekend with him. I understand what I'm about to say for the next 15 minutes coming from me is going to sound tone deaf, it is going to sound hypocritical, and some people will probably say, Zach, now you know what it was like to be on the other side of it. So, as I've said and pointed out many times in my history on this network, for 20 years, my football team was the standard in the NFL. They are doing what the Chiefs are trying to do, right? And that's win as many Super Bowls as you can, and you have a dynasty when you have the greatest quarterback of all time and, you know, the greatest coach of all time, right? That's what Brady and Belichick are. That's what Mahomes and Andy Reid are chasing, and the Chiefs are the standard right now, just like how the Patriots were the standard for 20 years. And people would tell me, I hate the Patriots. And I would say, I don't care. I just want to see my team win, 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 because that's all we do is win. And I love being the villain. I loved embracing the villain role. Oh, they cheat. Oh, they get the benefit of the refs. Oh, you can't hit Tom Brady. Oh, they do this. Oh, they do that. I don't care. But now, sitting here and looking at Kansas City and seeing Kansas City win three Super Bowls in the last few years, I've had enough of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I hitch my wagon to the other 31 teams in the NFL, and most of our teams, right, don't have a chance out of that 31 to actually beat Kansas City. I once rooted for a gold standard team. Now my team is lucky to even get out of the driveway without hitting the mailbox, if we're just being honest. And hopefully that will change. But there are teams out there that have had golden opportunities to beat the Chiefs when it matters the most. The San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New England Patriots, right? There's been teams out there. And Mahomes, to start his postseason career, is 17-3. Once again, 17-3. And there's only been two quarterbacks to ever slay him. Joe Burrow beat him in the AFC Championship game. Came up short in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady beat him in the AFC Championship game. Got the job done up against the Rams. Tom Brady, in the Super Bowl, up against Mahomes, defeated him. But outside of that, we have a list of teams that have come close, have made you think they were going to be able to win, and they don't get the job done. You look at the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are now 0-4 against the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason. The first AFC Championship game, not a big deal. Not a real blemish on the resume. The 13-second game, horrible. Last year, Stephon Diggs not being able to catch the ball, horrible. Bass missing the kick. This year, with all the problems you had in the game, oh, the spot on fourth down, the usage of James Cook, right? Whatever you want to talk about, whatever your gripe is from the game, the defense not getting off to a good start. The Bills had the ball late. And the Bills had the ball late in the game with a chance to either tie it or take the lead. They take the lead. That's their best kill shot opportunity. That's their best knockout punch opportunity. They had the moment. They had the opportunity. And Dalton Kincaid, I get it. First look, not an easy catch. CBS was about, I don't know, three time zones behind us in trying to give us a replay. It was horrible. It was terrible. It was brutal. And also, Tony Romo, can you have an opinion? They pay you enough. Like, give an opinion. Now, on that fourth down call, they were like, tough decision to make here, Jim. Tough decision. And then right away he goes, actually, it's not. We're going to go for it, Jim. They're going to clearly go for it. Like, what? Like, Romo, it's weird. I never thought when Romo first got into the booth that he was as great as what everyone thought he was. Because as much as I love watching a game, you know, unless the announcers are horrible, personally, I don't care who's announcing the game. Like, I will say for the Super Bowl, it will be neat. And this is why Fox got rid of Greg Olsen from the A-team, to have Brady calling the game while Mahomes is chasing Brady. That's the payoff for Fox. And there's a lot of good announcers there. I'm not poo-pooing, right, on the industry and play-by-play and color commentators. But Romo, everyone thought, like, his you-know-what didn't stink. And through the years, like, he's not horrible, but he's not the prophet. He's not the greatest broadcaster I've ever heard. I felt the same way with the Manning broadcast. A few years ago, everyone's slobbering over the Manning broadcast, and I go, no. I go, Aikman and Buck, I'd much rather listen to them. No offense, I think Peyton and Eli are entertaining, but hearing Peyton and Eli interview Kevin Hart for the 7,000th time. I'm there to watch the game. I'm not there for a show. I'm there to watch the game. I don't need people basically doing a show and having the game on in the background. But with all that being said, Dalton Kincaid, to get to the point, needs to catch the damn football yesterday. Not an easy catch, but when you get two hands on it, that's when you got to reel in if you want to be a championship team. Because championship teams, every single one of them in the history of the league, have had a play go their way that you didn't think would go their way. Or they made a stupendous catch. Or they had a fortuitous bounce with the football. Right? And the Bills were getting some fortuitous bounces yesterday, and then they also got some unfortunate officiating decisions. But with all that being said, you still had the ball late. And on fourth down, and I also love these film nerds, by the way. Oh, he should have hit Khalil Shakir. His head's not even looking that way. So how the heck is he going to see him? And the Bills are right, or the Chiefs are right in his face. And this is why I can't stand. I'm on it. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Santa created an account for me on TikTok, which I guess is still around. But like, I'm never logging on to TikTok. I'm bizarre. I'm a Reels guy. No, I'm antiquated. Sorry about that. But I love people that overanalyze moments and they slow it down as if Josh Allen isn't processing things in real time. Right? Like, I slowed things down. I could show you holding in every play. I could show you a quarterback that should have made the decision the other way. It happens in a snap of a finger, folks, where you have arguably the greatest defensive coordinator or one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time on the other sideline dialing up great play calls as well. So don't sit there and go, oh, Josh should have thrown the ball to Khalil Shakir. Ain't you know, he had him wide open. It was easy. Oh, so easy. Still, Josh Allen, because he's a freak. Josh Allen, because he's a stud. Josh Allen, because he's got that dog in him. He gave the Bills a chance. He gave his teammate, and really what was a no play, he gave the Bills an opportunity to move the sticks. And yes, it's not your traditional catch. It's not your five-yard route, turn around, boom, the ball's right there. You catch the ball, you hit the ground, you move the chains. I understand there was a little acrobatics to that catch. But still, you get two hands on the football. You got to reel it in. But the Bills now, once again, are one of those teams that they're chasing Mahomes. They're trying to grab the cape away from Superman for one season. Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, Deion Dawkins, James Cook, Von Miller. Where the heck was he on that game the other day? They're all trying to grab the cape for one season as a team. And they've gotten close, but yet still really far away from doing the job. So I look at teams like the Bills. Even the Bengals, who punched through and prevented Mahomes from winning a Super Bowl, but then didn't win a Super Bowl themselves. I look at the Baltimore Ravens, right, with Lamar Jackson, home AFC championship game last year. Him and Monken can't get on the same page. Mahomes admits afterwards that he was basically a game manager to me. And guess what? You still couldn't beat him. So, we also then look at the NFC, the 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers, with the plethora of players and the abundance of players that they have, they had two 10-point leads in the Super Bowl. Once again, two 10-point leads in the Super Bowl up against Mahomes. 0-2. Couldn't get the job done. So now here we go with the Eagles. And I understand some people may not like Eagles fans. I understand, right, Cowboys fans and Giants fans and Commanders fans don't like the Eagles. I get it. But if you're not a fan of the Chiefs, how aren't you rooting for the Eagles coming up 2 weeks from now? Because if Philadelphia with Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson, you know, you go through all the names that the Eagles have, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, or I like to call him Cooper DeJean. Like, you go through all the names. Jalen Carter. Heck, put some respect on Nick Sirianni's name. Go through all the great. Darius Big Play Slay. Zach Bond. Go through it. This is an all-star team for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I get it. You got to give everything you got to beat the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs' defense is better than their offense. And guess what's cooking right now? The Chiefs' offense, they cooked in that game yesterday. Xavier Worthy, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. You go on and on and on and on and on. And sure, the Chiefs will always have the mental advantage. They always will. Because teams basically pee down their leg when they see the Kansas City Chiefs. Because of what they've built and what they've done. But if you're a fan of the other 31 teams in the league, and you're not a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles 2 weeks from now, and I'm not saying it needs to last for years, I'm not saying it even needs to last to the day after Super Bowl Sunday, but on Super Bowl Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles become America's team. And the reason they become America's team is because they're really our last hope. Because I could sit here every year with the pom-poms out and go, all right, this is the year the Chiefs are vulnerable. You know, this team's got a chance. Buffalo's got a chance 0-4 in the postseason. Lamar Jackson's got a chance with the Ravens last year. Couldn't win an AFC championship game at home. All right, the Bengals, Joe Burrow, they beat him in the AFC championship game. Since then, lost them in an AFC championship game. Haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years. The San Francisco 49ers, they're an all-star team. They blew two 10-point leads to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. If the Eagles, who had the best player on the field statistically in the last Super Bowl loss to Kansas City, if they follow it up with another L, folks, I'll put my hands up in the air and I'll tell you I got nothing else. The Eagles are now America's team 2 weeks from now on Super Bowl Sunday because they give us our last hope of seeing Mahomes, Kelce, Reed, Taylor Swift, right? Whoever. Just not get another ring this year. And even if the Chiefs lose 2 weeks from now, they'll be back next year. They'll be back the year after that. The year after that. Because pretty much their season starts each and every year in the AFC Championship game. They're the new Patriots. But even when the Patriots reign supreme, you saw Ben Roethlisberger get two. You saw Aaron Rodgers get one. You saw Eli Manning get two. You saw Peyton Manning get two. You saw, right, even Joe Flacco, Elite Joe, get a ring. Nick Foles, get a ring. It's possible for other teams to win even when there's a dynastic run happening. And so far, 49ers with Jimmy G and Brock Purdy couldn't get it done. Lamar Jackson with the Ravens couldn't get it done. Joe Burrow almost got it done. Josh Allen can't get it done. And now we rest our hope with Jalen Hurts, America's quarterback, two Sundays from now on America's team with the Philadelphia Eagles. And if they can't get the job done, I don't want to hear anyone predict that anyone but the Chiefs win the Super Bowl next year. You know, I should probably be foolish for eventually picking the Eagles 2 weeks from now. I probably will. I'm foolish for picking the Bills. But I don't think it's because maybe I think the Bills are actually going to win. You know, I thought they were. The Eagles I do think can win, but I can't tell you I know they're going to win. But it's because I'm a football fan that's now getting a taste of my own medicine from what my team did for 20 years. And I want to see the Chiefs go down. I do. I want to see the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Because if they can't get the job done, it's the last straw of hope. Right? It's the last straw that would just break the camel's back. How could we give any of these other fan bases hope that they're going to get the job done and actually tangibly make them believe that they're going to get the job done? If we're sitting here and the Chiefs three-peat, when we've all said the Chiefs have been vulnerable, when the Chiefs offense hasn't been the most well-oiled machine in the last 2 years, and they keep on winning and winning and winning and winning. America, it's time to get behind the Eagles. It's time to back the birds. That's what they need to do. And I can't believe I'm saying it, but Philadelphia, two Sundays from now, in the Super Bowl, in New Orleans, they are America's team because they need to give the rest of us some hope. And if we can't get that hope, whew, I don't think we'll ever be able to get that hope again. It'll be some dark times. Stink! Mark Schlereth will join us next. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. All righty, the Chiefs beat the Bills. They're off to the Super Bowl. The Eagles with Saquon Barkley slam the Commanders. We're getting a rematch of the Super Bowl 2 years ago. We'll see if the Eagles can get the job done this time up against the Chiefs. So the Chiefs are looking to become the first team in the Super Bowl era to go back-to-back-to-back. And three-peat now joining us. He does a great job, NFL on Fox, Breakfast Ball on FS1. It's a three-time Super Bowl champion, Mark Schlereth. Mark, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I've been good, man. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So let me start you off at the AFC Championship game first. There's many different ways that we could go. What was your biggest takeaway in Chiefs-Bills Part 4, where once again Kansas City gets the job done?
Well, I mean, ultimately for me, it's in critical moments, whether it's coaching staff decisions, game planning decisions, execution by players, the Chiefs are just a better football team. There is nobody in critical moments that execute better than the Kansas City Chiefs. And like I said, from a coaching staff standpoint, all the way down to every player on that roster, they play with disciplined style. They make sure that they, keep all their things, their ducks in a row, so to speak. And they just go out there and they make the plays that have to be made. And you look at the end of that game, like I said, from day one, as long as the Bills have an opportunity at the end of this game to possess the ball and get a victory, man, I'm great. Regardless of the officiating, regardless of what I think. And listen, the officiating didn't change the fact that the Bills had the ball with 2:33 left in the fourth quarter with an opportunity to tie with a field goal or win this game with a touchdown and leave no time on the clock. And they couldn't get either of those things done. And then defensively, they had an opportunity to stop the Kansas City Chiefs, got them on a 3rd and 9 with, over a minute left to play, I believe. And they couldn't get the stop. The completion to P. Ryan that went for 17 yards on a 3rd down and 9. And ultimately, the Chiefs made the plays that had to be made, and the Buffalo Bills flat out could.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, you got to make that stop. I think it's something that's not getting talked about enough because almost everyone thought the game was just over when Kincaid couldn't reel in that catch on 4th down, but there was still time left. The other thing that confuses me here is James Cook, I thought, was the Bills' best player, period, in the game yesterday. And that's also incorporating Josh Allen. You know, I know Sean McDermott is a defensive-minded head coach, but how does he not tell his coaching staff to get the ball more to James Cook or at least have him on the field? That was weird to me with how he was playing.
Yeah, he had him on the field, but not on the first down. The first down carry, the one carry. Now, they had put a drive together that I think was 11 carries. that scored a touchdown, you know, and put the Bills up in the third quarter there, or put them within a field goal, whatever it was. I can't remember the exact score, but the bottom line is, when they had the ball last and they had an opportunity to win that game with a score, or at least tie it up with a field goal, the first carry didn't go to James Cook. Went to a backup running back in Ty Johnson, and he got negative one, and then you're behind the chains. Now, you know, Josh Allen scrambled, but the next couple of series or the next couple of plays, James Cook was in the backfield, but he never touched the ball. And so you got away from running the football. He started throwing the football, and then the mistakes that were made. First and foremost, like there was a second down play to Shakir that I think it was a second, maybe it was a first down play where they're running a bubble screen and go, and they get the perfect defense for it. They get a split high safety with the Shakir on the middle linebacker, and he stops. He stops the route, and I mean it's a touchdown. Or it's a big play over the top because you're matched up. Now, they were in dimes, so the middle linebacker was a DB, but you're matched up with a little middle linebacker with a split safety look. So you're basically one-on-one with that guy. And Josh Allen throws it deep, and you could see him just going, what are you doing? Like, why would you stop that route? And so there's that mistake. And then there's the fourth down and five. You mentioned the drop by the tight end, but ultimately, they're sliding protection to the left. So that's where you're protected. They bring the corner blitz off the right-hand side. It's a zone blitz. The third down was an all-out zero blitz. It was full out, you know, seven-man pressure. But that was a zone blitz. So you're bringing five. You're playing zone behind it. And Shakir comes in motion, little fake orbit back out on a swing pass. And if you just slide away from the blitz, like that's the guy you're going to see. And they don't have it covered. Like it's wide open. And you know, I mean, the rest is history. You don't make the plays you need to make in those clutch critical situations, and Kansas City does. And that's the difference in the game.
I get it, Mark Schlereth, right? It's Spagnuolo, Reed, Mahomes, Kelsey. We can go on and on and on. And hey, it's what the Patriots did for years, but there were even years where the Patriots didn't win it all. At this rate with the Bills, now losing four times in the postseason, do you think it's, I think Sean McDermott's a good coach. He's done a really good job in Buffalo. Do you think it's just time to move on and get a new voice in there?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't necessarily think that, but I mean, ultimately, ultimately, you're talking about, you know, ownership in Kansas City. You're talking about Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, two of the best coaches in football. And you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, and so, you know, I mean, you look at the numbers, and you know, Josh Allen in the playoffs, and Patrick Mahomes are 1-2 in just about every discernible category. The bottom line is, in critical moments, you know, Patrick Mahomes makes the plays, and Josh Allen hasn't, and so. You know, there were a lot of things that mistake-wise in that particular contest. Like we talked about, James Cook doesn't get the ball. I thought chasing points early was a bad mistake and ultimately cost him. And, you know, it's easy to sit there and say that, but you know, it's the tush push, and you don't have big guys pushing on Josh Allen. And so there's a couple of tush pushes that you don't get. Like at some point, you got to get away from it if you're not executing it, if they're out executing you on the defensive side of the ball, and yet you just keep going back to it. I know it was successful, but the one fourth down conversion they did was at a shotgun where Josh Allen took off and, you know, scrambled, had his back to it, and kind of rolled over the first down yardage marker. So there's just a series of decisions made from a coaching staff standpoint that ultimately fall on Sean McDermott, but they're on the offensive coordinator. They're on the execution of the offense. They're on everybody. So I just think it's oversimplification to say, hey, let's fire, you know, Sean McDermott because his voice doesn't resonate. He got to an AFC championship. They're in the playoffs every year. They were an outstanding football team all season long. So in those critical moments against the Chiefs, they just haven't found a way to get over the top.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't think they're moving on from Sean McDermott, but I was sitting on my couch yesterday and I was saying, man, you got Bill Belichick at UNC. I was saying the Bills should have hired him last year. You know, if you're trying to go slay this dragon, I kind of wish that Bill was coaching the Buffalo Bills next season, Mark.
Yeah, well, I can understand it. I mean, I understand it. But ultimately, like I said, there's something about the Chiefs, the way they play, their ability to execute in those critical moments. And they're just the best in the National Football League when it comes to that. You know, and obviously, we've got Super Bowl 59 in this matchup, a rematch of Super Bowl 57. But you look at it, and you know, I can make a compelling argument that in every position other than quarterback, the Philadelphia Eagles are better. Like they've got a deeper, better roster than the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, come critical moment times, critical times, like, who do I trust? I trust Patrick Mahomes. I trust Andy Reid. I trust Spagnuolo more than I trust the Philadelphia Eagles.
So do you think that that means, I know it's early, still got 2 weeks to talk about this. Are you saying then that you think the Chiefs are going to get this done in three-peat?
I hope not. Listen, man, I mean, I'm a guy. I'm one of the guys. I'm one of the, what, seven teams that had back-to-back championships. And so, you know, ultimately, selfishly, I don't want to see them three-peat. I don't want to see them be the only team that was able to come up with a three-peat. But with that said, it's absolutely remarkable. You know, you think about this. Since 2018, they've played 20 playoff games. So since 2018, they've got over a full season of playoff games under their belt. So that just the battle of attrition that is the National Football League and losing players. You know, hey, Tyreek Hill goes off to Miami. Oh, how are they going to replace that? Oh, they find a way to get it done. They change their offense. They go from a three-wide set to more of a two-tight-end base formation set. Last year, Pacheco was big. Rashee Rice was, you know, was their number one receiver. He gets hurt. They move on from Rashee, and they find a different way to get it done. Yesterday, Pacheco had like six carries. You know, he was a star in the playoffs last year. So they just find a way to get it done regardless of what they have. They find a way to put their players in the best possible position to have success, and those guys thrive in it.
And you know what's amazing, right? And I know it's a longer sample size of Brady and Belichick, but there were years, right, where Rodgers broke through, Peyton Manning broke through, Drew Brees, right? You could go on and on and on with some of the great quarterbacks. In this stretch, even when Burrow breaks through, he can't win the big game. How you have Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, still with zero Super Bowl titles. The Niners with two 10-point leads, you can't get the job done. And now the Eagles, they have their chance their second time around. It's amazing how outside of Brady, right, and Burrow that 1 year, no one's really been able to put the nail in this Chiefs coffin.
Yeah, they've been amazing. In the last 7 years, they've had the best stretch in National Football League history, as far as wins and playoff wins and Super Bowls and all those things. So, yeah, it's remarkable what they've been able to do. And obviously, it's having Patrick Mahomes. And then you look at the AFC right now, you mentioned it with Joe Burrow and, you know, Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa and you know, all the great quarterbacks that are out there, Lamar Jackson, all the great, like, none of them, like, there is, if you're putting tiers together, there's Patrick Mahomes, and then there's the rest of the elite quarterbacks. And it just, until somebody can break through and somebody can, you know, can unseat Patrick Mahomes, like, what are you going to do? Like, it's the Chiefs are just that good.
Yeah, and obviously Mahomes is one, and then you can rank 2, 3, 4, however you want, but it has to be, in whatever order, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. Then you get to the fifth spot. Like, is Jalen Hurts, in your opinion, the best quarterback in the NFC? Is he the fifth best quarterback in football, in your opinion?
No, probably not. But, you know, what they ask him to do, he's exceptional at. And I think yesterday was a big eye-opening experience, having the knee injury and doing all the things that, you know, all the things that kind of went wrong toward the end of the season with the concussion issue in week 16, and then really not playing great football throughout the entirety of the two playoff games. They had the Green Bay game and then last week. And yet in the NFC Championship game, they ask him to execute 4th-and-5, throws a dime piece down the sideline to A.J. Brown, 3rd-and-6 with a shallow cross, throws it to Devontae Smith, runs for a touchdown. I mean, I thought he was top notch. He was incredible. And, you know, I'd make the same argument last week, is that the Eagles were better in every position other than the quarterback, because Jaden Daniels had been playing the best quarterback, like, of anybody in the NFC. That's why they got there. And yet, Hurts outplayed him. There's no question. So just an amazing, amazing performance by him. Amazing performance in the running game, amazing performance using multiple centers during the course of that game because of injury to the starting center, Cam Jurgens. Landon Dickerson slides over, backup left guard comes in. I mean, to be able to do that and execute and continue to do what they did in the running game and continue to protect Jalen Hurts, it's pretty amazing, all things considered.
And you also factor in, right, when you talk about Kansas City, right, they lost Tyreek Hill and they've still won back-to-back Super Bowls since then. You look at the Eagles from an offensive line perspective, they're amazing across the board, but they're back in the Super Bowl after losing Jason Kelce to retirement.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it really is. And Jurgens has done a great job. And you just hope that everybody's healthy, with this extra week to prepare for this game. But it's a remarkable matchup. There's no question. And like I said, I think roster construction wise, I think Philadelphia Eagles are the best roster in football. And I think they're better than Kansas City. And I think they've got a better offensive line. I think they've got a better, wide receiver, tight end combination, the threesome of AJ Brown, DeVonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert over that of Kansas City. So I think that would give the lean, obviously, to the Philadelphia Eagles. The running back, there's no question. And Saquon Barkley, he gets the lean. Defensive line, I'd give it to Philly. Even linebacking core, I would give it to Philly the way Zach Vaughn has played this year. And secondary, with the three corners they have, nobody's been better than Mitchell all season long, the rookie. And then you still have, Darius Slay, big play Slay is a great player. There's no question. He's still good. And Cooper DeJean or DeJean, that guy's been amazing. And so, I would probably give the lean, although that's close to the, Kansas City secondary, but I'd probably give the lean there too. But with that said, the great equalizer is Andy Reid from a coaching standpoint, Steve Spagnuolo from a coaching standpoint, and obviously Patrick Mahomes.
If Mahomes wins this one and they three-peat, right now I think he's the third greatest quarterback of all time. Montana and Brady are in front of him. I think the next Super Bowl, I know it's 4-4, but I would put him past Montana. Would you put him past Brady with this one, or is it still Brady one and then Mahomes two if you agree with that?
Well, I still think you have to go Brady with seven rings
Yeah.
total, right?
And
With
beating him
two
twice
different
in the
franchises.
playoffs.
Right. And doing it, in two different franchises. But man, what this is this is the greatest run, probably the greatest 3-year run we've ever had. And it's the greatest 7-year run in the history of the National Football League, which is flat out incredible as far as I'm concerned. So, nothing but admiration. Do I like the Chiefs? No, I can't stand them. But do I respect the hell out of them? Yeah, you're damn right I do.
When we get to the hiring cycle, Mark Schlereth, six hires have been made. You still got the Saints job out there. What do you think is the best hire so far out of the six?
I think Ben Johnson in Chicago, I think it was the best job available. I think they've got the most talent, the most talent roster. They've got a young, talented quarterback that just needs to be groomed, needs to be coached. Ben Johnson's a hell of a football coach. And I think what he's done in Detroit is speaks for itself. He's a smart dude, having talked to him several times. I think he's top notch. And I think he'll take a lot from Dan Campbell. He'll be his own man, but a lot from Dan Campbell on how to put a team together and how to coach a team. So I think that's the best hire of all the hires right now. I will tell you, I like Liam Cohen in Jacksonville because I think Jacksonville's got a quarterback that has shown at times he can play really exceptional football, has lost his way a little bit occasionally. But remember, just 2 years ago, in the 2023 season, the Jacksonville Jaguars started out at 8-3 and then they collapsed and fell apart. So if you can get that kind of steady play from him defensively, I think they've drafted well. I think they've got a pretty outstanding defense. So I think they've got a chance to be good, and that division is not very good. So I think Liam Cohen goes into a good situation, and I think he's a heck of a football coach. So it'll be interesting to watch exactly how that plays out. But if you press me, I'd have to say Ben Johnson.
All right, last thing I'll ask you, I just want to get your media take on this because you're so diverse, right? Doing Breakfast Ball on TV on FS1, doing the NFL games on Fox. You still do radio, obviously, in Denver. When Brady replaced Greg Olsen for that one spot, there was a lot of criticism of it. And I said, hey, to get Brady in a big game, no offense to Greg Olsen, I think he's really good. Brady calling him a home Super Bowl would be unbelievable, especially what Mahomes is chasing. It's Brady. Just how about that in 2 weeks with the Super Bowl being on Fox to get Brady calling Mahomes' game when Mahomes is trying to continue to build that legacy to surpass Brady?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I enjoyed the broadcast last week. So, yeah, it's big time. I mean, Tom Brady is the best that's ever played the game. And so I understand the insight there. I understand how difficult the job is, right? I mean, I get it. It's not an easy job to do, but I think he's done a good job.
He's Mark Schlereth. Make sure you check him out in the mornings with Breakfast Ball with Danny Parkins and Craig Carden. You can catch him also all throughout the NFL season and also his local radio show on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Mark, appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Take care.
You got it. There's Mark Schlereth. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We got a few questions, a few answers, do a little onside, offside next. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, let's get it cooking, Stu. What do we got today?
All right, so the NFL conspiracy nuts were on full alert after Josh Allen's fourth quarter sneak that was called short of a first down. Either way, it was, of course, pretty impossible to see where the ball was on the play, leading some to call for putting a chip in the ball. While according to Mike Florio, the league has been researching a chip for a while, but still have no clear solutions. Onsides, offsides, you're okay with no chip in the football.
I'm okay with no chip in the football, so I would be against this, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that. I'll go offside. Put a chip in a football. There was a guy years ago. His name was Alan Amron, or Amron. I would go back to last time the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think it was when the lights went out in that halftime show with Beyonce, where it was Ravens and 49ers, the Harbaugh Bowl.
Harbaugh, yeah.
He was saying how they could shoot the laser across the field, and it was, you had the chains, but you could have it show on the field so you could get the yellow line out there. There's got to be something more obvious. I thought he got it last night. At first, I thought it was close. When you saw the overhead view of it, I thought he clearly got it. But why wouldn't we do this? We're in a technology era right now. Everything gives us an advantage with technology. So why wouldn't we put a chip in the ball or at least have the yellow line reflected on the field? So you're okay with no chip in the ball. I'm going offside.
Offside.
All right. The Eagles defense swarmed Jaden Daniels all day yesterday, sacking the rookie three times and holding Washington's running backs to a paltry 2.6 yards per carry.
Good word, paltry.
Paltry, like, yeah. Now the defense could be getting even better, as star and friend of the show Brandon Graham told reporters, quote, "We gonna see," end quote, when he was asked if he will play in the Super Bowl. So onsides, offsides, Graham would be a huge boost for the Eagles defense.
I think it's an emotional boost. In terms of impact in the game, I'm not going to say it's a huge boost, and I love BG, but the reason why I wouldn't say it's a huge boost is I don't know how effective A, he's going to be, and also, and I don't mean this in any of a negative way, the Eagles have done more than survive just okay without Brandon Graham. So I think it could help. I don't think it's a bad thing, but a huge boost? No, I'm not going that far, so I'll go offside.
Offside.
Now, the Eagles, they have mastered the tush-push or brotherly shove, if you prefer.
I go tush-push.
Yeah, I agree with that. They ran a play multiple times yesterday, scoring two touchdowns with it. And it got so out of hand that Washington kept committing offsides penalties when they were
part of the game.
Bent down by the goal line, leading the refs to warning the Commanders that they could award Philly a touchdown if the penalties continued. Onsides, offsides, the NFL should outlaw the tush-push.
Oh, offside. You can't tell me that everyone just runs the tush-push well. The Buffalo Bills couldn't do it yesterday. So the Eagles have run that to perfection. So the NFL should outlaw the tush-push? No, I would be against that. I'm going offside.
Offside.
All right, Ben Johnson's staff in Chicago is taking shape as he has hired Antoine Randall as assistant head coach.
I like Antoine Randall.
JT Barrett as quarterback coach.
Oh, really?
And former Raiders and Saints head coach, my friend Dennis Allen, as the defensive coordinator. Now, Johnson announced that he'll be calling plays on the offensive side of the ball and hire 28-year-old Broncos tight end coach Declan Doyle as his OC.
Doyle rules!
A very interesting job description that he gave him.
It's going to be critical for me to find somebody that can organize and structure and set the table. Particularly early in the week, I've been around a number of guys that have called plays in the past, and I've seen the potential pitfalls that could arise as you're coaching the entire football team and you can't get to watching as much tape early in the week. So the offensive coordinator position is going to have to be somebody that not only I trust, but will be extremely detail-oriented, organized, and structured to set the table, and also willing to work late nights.
So onsides, offsides, it's a mistake for a rookie head coach to call the plays.
I'm going offside. I don't have a problem with Ben Johnson calling the plays. I just think that you eventually have to be okay for the criticism and be good with giving him up if it's not in the best interest of the team. But it's a mistake for rookie head coach to call the plays right from the jump. No, I don't agree with that. Offside.
Offside.
I think I'm offside on everything so far.
I think so. 4 for 4. Number 5, the Saints are the only team left.
I'm like the Chiefs up against the Bills.
The Saints are the only team still looking for a head coach with Mike McCarthy as the biggest name remaining. Bills OC.
Is that a fat joke?
I guess it could be as well. Bills OC Joe Brady, he removed his name from consideration over the weekend. But Commanders OC Cliff Kingsbury's name has resurfaced now that Washington is out of the playoffs. Onsides, offsides, Kingsbury would be a better fit for the Saints than Mike McCarthy.
I'm going to go offside there. And the reason why is you have Cliff Kingsbury, but you don't really have a quarterback. And I know you have Derek Carr, but is he even going to be on the team? There's not a lot there. So at least bring in McCarthy where I know I'm going to get professionalism. I'm not saying Cliff Kingsbury's unprofessional. And we've seen McCarthy go multiple spots and have somewhat success. Like Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach anywhere, he starts up really strong and he's terrible down the stretch. So can he even start off really strong with the lack of talent there with the Saints? I would rather just bring in McCarthy and at least it would be more respect around him than I think Cliff Kingsbury. So that's why I'm going offside.
Offside!
All right, the Cowboys hired Brian Schottenheimer as their next head coach after Mike Zimmer announced that he would not be joining Schottenheimer's staff. The team hired former Bears head coach Matt Eberflus as their next defensive coordinator. Now, Eberflus did have success as the Colts DC, but of course was a failure with the Bears as their head coach.
A colossal failure.
Colossal failure. Yeah. Onsides, offsides, you're surprised that Eberflus got a defensive coordinator job this quickly?
No, he should have never got a head coaching job. He was an okay defensive coordinator, but he should have never got a head coaching job. Like, I knew who he was when he got hired, but I think most people were like, how the heck did this guy get a head coaching job? So I'm fine with him getting a DC job, but he should never be a head coach again in the NFL. So you're surprised Eberflus got a DC job this quickly. I would go offsides.
Offsides.
We're going for a sweep here.
Yeah, let's go for it here. Right, the Jets decided on their new GM hiring Broncos assistant GM Darren Moogie to pair with new head coach Aaron Glenn. Now today, Glenn met with the media and discussed the timeline for making a decision on Aaron Rodgers' future.
Aaron Rodgers will be talked about. It will be talked about. We've already texted that communication with Aaron Rodgers. But the thing is, we're going to make sure we get the right answer. And we're not going to rush through this answer. We're going to get the right answer.
So onsides, offsides, Rodgers will be the Jets' starting quarterback in 2025.
I love that answer from him. He was in command of that room. And I don't think he's going to let Aaron Rodgers bully him. I got very get-in-the-line type of coach right there from Aaron Glenn. And if you played football in high school and never someone said get-in-the-line, you have to get on the end zone line, the goal line, and then you have to go run like a 110-yard sprint, and you always feared the coach that said that. Rodgers will be the Jets' starting quarterback in 2025. I think that Woody Johnson said that's an Aaron Glenn and the new GM decision, right? They're going to let him make that decision. I still think this is more so, does Aaron want to come back, and does Aaron want to play for the Jets? And I ultimately think that Aaron will want to come back to the NFL next year, and I think he'll be okay with playing for the Jets. And I think that you'll have one more year of Aaron Rodgers in the NFL, and he'll be starting for the Jets in 2025. So I will go onsides for that one. 6 for 7. All righty. We'll take a break. When we're coming on back, what Mahomes is doing is just flat out ridiculous. Who else could we compare him to? We'll discuss next.